little Johnny's dad was the pastor of a small church in the Midwest. One day, he told Johnny that a very important leader, a bishop, was coming to the church and would be staying with them at their home. Little Johnny became very excited about meeting a bishop. "What do I get to do?" he said to his dad. "Your job," the father answered, "will be to take his morning coffee up to the guest room." "Well, what should I say?" Johnny questioned. "Just remember to knock and say, 'It's the boy, my lord. It's time to get up.'" Johnny was very excited. He rehearsed his lines over and over. Finally, the day came, and Johnny had learned his lines. At the appointed hour, the bishop's coffee and a biscuit were placed on a tray and given to Johnny to take to the guest room. He banged on the door and became so excited he got his lines all mixed up and said, "It's the Lord, my boy, and your time is up." Well, Advent is all about being prepared for when the Lord knocks on our door and says, "Our time is up." Really, that's what Advent is about. It's a four-week period of preparation. The church, as you see in this Advent wreath, has four candles. Each of those candles represents the 4 weeks of Advent, but they also represent the 4,000 years that the chosen people, the Jewish people, waited for the Messiah. So again, every candle represents 1,000 years of them waiting for their Messiah, and our 4 weeks of preparing for Christmas. So Advent is a very holy season, a season of joy, a season of love and peace, and a season of hope, because we know that our Messiah has come. Our Lord and Savior came 2,000 years ago. So we know that He has already come, but we want to celebrate that coming every year at Christmas. And so we use this opportunity of 4 weeks during Advent to prepare our hearts to again receive Christ with joy at Christmas. As you know, some people have called Advent a mini Lent because we do wear the violet colors, the purple. We don't say the glory or sing the Alleluia during Advent, but it's not the kind of a penitential season that Lent is. Lent is where we give something up. And the suggestion would be that during Advent, we should do something extra. So Lent, we make sacrifices, give things up. Advent, perhaps do something extra for our spiritual life. So what are some of the practical things we can do to prepare ourselves for Christ at Christmas? Well, if we use the word prepare, I can give you just one idea for every letter in that word. The word prepare is spelled with seven letters. The first letter is P, and that stands for prayer. That during Advent, we should spend extra time in prayer. When you wake up every morning, say the morning offering. Dedicate your day to God. Before you go to sleep at night, examine your conscience and say an act of contrition. Those are the bookends of the spiritual life. Try to spend at least 10 or 15 minutes each day in prayer and silence. Maybe the only silence that you get is when you're driving in your car. Use that period of 10 minutes or 15 minutes to just talk to the Lord. Don't close your eyes when you're praying in the car. But just talk to the Lord. And another beautiful prayer that is so that a lot of people don't know about is called the Liturgy of the Hours, or the Divine Office. The Liturgy of the Hours is what every priest and nun says every day, and it's the Psalms. And the Liturgy of the Hours, it takes about maybe 10 minutes to say morning prayer or 10 minutes to say evening prayer. They're mostly the readings of Scripture and the Psalms. And our parish of St. Mary's is one of the only parishes in the diocese that actually prays it in community every morning at 9 o'clock before the 9:15 Mass up at the worship center. So if you ever go to 9:15 Mass there during the week, then try to come a little bit early, 10 minutes early, and say morning prayer with the congregation. It's very beautiful. So then these are just ideas on how to improve our prayer life. The next letter is R, and that stands for a special, beautiful prayer called the Rosary. I say the Rosary every day, of course. I think most of you do as well. The Blessed Mother told us at Fatima to pray the Rosary every day for peace in the world. And obviously, peace in our hearts, peace in our families, peace in society. So we should be, of course, praying the Rosary every day. And during Advent, what I do personally is I say the joyful mysteries every day during Advent, because then you're meditating upon the Nativity, the birth of Christ, every day during Advent. Normally we say like joyful on Monday, Tuesday sorrowful, Wednesday glorious. But my personal opinion is that we should try to say the joyful mysteries every day during Advent. The third letter is E, and S stands for the Eucharist. Trying to go to daily Mass if we can. We have a 6:30 Mass here Monday through Friday in the historic church. We have a 9:15 Mass Monday through Saturday in the main worship center. So what better way to prepare to receive Christ at Christmas than to receive Jesus often, if possible every day, or as many times as you can during the week, during Advent. When we go to Mass, we're fed and nourished by the Word of God and by Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. We also have adoration at the worship center Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 in the morning until 12 noon. Again, we can come to adore Emmanuel, God with us, in the Holy Eucharist, especially Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in Eucharistic adoration. The fourth letter in the word prepare is penance, the sacrament of penance. So I would certainly encourage you to make a good confession during Advent. We have confessions every Monday morning, every Wednesday night, and every Saturday afternoon. But then during Advent, we have a special penance service where we bring in about a dozen priests from around the diocese. Perhaps that's the easiest way to go to confession during Advent, when we have over a dozen priests with us that evening a few weeks before Christmas. The next letter is A in the word prepare, and that stands for Advent traditions. Some beautiful Advent traditions are the Advent wreath. I know many families have an Advent wreath. And when you say grace before meals and have your family meal, you can read the prayer and then light one of the candles of the Advent wreath. Another good thing, especially for the kids, are Advent calendars. Remember Advent calendars? Where every day you open up a little window and have usually a verse of scripture to read. And when I was a kid, we didn't have the advances we have now in theology, where now you open it up and get a chocolate behind every window. See, that's some good advance. So that's a great thing for the kids, to get a little piece of chocolate to give them joy as they prepare for Christ. And then the third Advent tradition is called the creche, or the nativity scene, or the manger. And perhaps you have one of these in your home. And what we did when I was growing up is that we had the empty crib, but then behind the manger we had a bag of straw. So we as children were taught that anytime we did an act of kindness or an act of charity, we could take a piece of straw and place it in the crib. So when Jesus comes on Christmas, he has a soft bed upon which to lay his head. And that bed of straw are all the acts of charity, kindness, maybe... You know, you can get your kids to do the dishes or take out the trash or put a new roof on the house or whatever. Whatever they do something good, a piece of straw goes in the crib. Of course, if they do something bad, if they fight with their brother or sister, a piece of straw comes out of the crib. So I'm afraid as a kid I took a few pieces out as well. But the idea is that it encourages us, whether adults or children, to... during Advent, to spread God's love, peace, and joy through acts of kindness and charity, especially within the family. The last two letters are R and E. The R is for reading, spiritual reading. And the best things we can read during Advent would be the Gospels, especially focusing on Luke and Matthew, because that's the ones that have the infancy narratives of the birth of Christ. So Luke's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel. And then try to read about the three great Advent saints, the Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, and Saint John the Baptist. Those are the three great saints of Advent, because they are the ones that really were the ones that brought Jesus into the world, and John the Baptist prepared the world for Christ. Lastly, the letter E. So remember, you have prayer, rosary, Eucharist, penance, Advent traditions, and reading. The last one is E, and that stands for the word empty, because John the Baptist says that Christ must increase within us and we must decrease. So the idea of Advent is to become empty of self, to become empty of pride and arrogance and impatience and lack of charity, to be empty of self, to be filled with Christ. And isn't that the purpose of the Christian life? To be filled with Christ, to become more Christ-like. And that is the purpose of why we pray, why we go to the sacraments, is to become holy, to become more like Jesus. Another way to which we can use the word empty is to empty out our closets of so many things that the poor could use. There are many needy families that could use the extra coats and extra clothes, and perhaps take it to the House of Mercy in Manassas or local charities. So it's a good idea to sort of empty out our closets. I know as when we were kids, my parents, every Advent, we would go to our big closet where we had all the games and children's toys and all that. And we had to pick some of these things to get rid of, to give to needy families and to the poor. And an idea of becoming less materialistic and more focused on the true meaning of preparing our hearts for Christ at Christmas. Because one day, we will hear that knock on our door, and the Lord will say, "It is the Lord, and it's time to get up." And if we have prepared ourselves well during Advent and throughout our daily life, we'll look forward to meeting Christ with joy when He comes again.